And the Professional Services Council has launched a new initiative to focus on technology policy, and it's picked a defense insider to lead it. Dave Wennergren served in the Defense Department until 2013 when he joined the contractor CACI, and he joins us now to discuss the latest chapter in his career. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily. It's great to be with you today.
So, Dave, why mix it up now? Why the change?
Well, I wasn't looking for a new job, but the chance to work with Stan Soloway, Alan, and the rest of the PSC team was just something I couldn't let pass me by. It's an opportunity to work technology, acquisition, and reform issues across government and industry in an area that I'm passionate about, how we're all better off when industry and government partner collaboratively to deliver results to the citizens. I'm particularly excited that PSC has begun this new initiative about this technology policy council that we'll talk more about during the interview, how they're addressing the significant shifts that are taking place across the services and technology sectors. There's this move to consumption-based buying, think cloud computing, managed services, performance-based contracting, which brings with it both tremendous opportunity but also tremendous change in the way that business will be done. So there are a number of areas, policies, processes, strategies, where PSC, with its longstanding track record of leadership in these areas, is going to play an important role for industry going forward. And so I'm really looking forward to being a part of that important work.
All right. I want to ask you, after such a long time in DOD, I think some people think you're still there. And now at the CACI, headed to PSC, how do things look from the other side?
Well, I loved your introduction about looking through the kaleidoscope. I understand that. And, working at CACI has been a great experience for me. It's an outstanding company with a wonderful corporate culture, and it really demonstrates the integrity that, you know, that's so important to me. And so I've learned a lot here in the year that I've been with the company, and I'd offer up a few things. The first one is that while I've seen it from my government perch, it's encouraging and reinforcing to see the caliber, the dedication and commitment to public service that the private sector workforce gives. And second, it's wonderful to see how adept good companies are at identifying and tracking costs. This is a huge issue for government, where we're much better at describing budgets than we are about actually quantifying costs of doing business. And with the challenging financial times that are going to be with us for some time to come, there is much that government could learn from industry about how you identify and track costs and demand a positive return on investment when it comes time to designing IT solutions. And finally, while I may have intuitively understood it, it's been a wake-up call to me to see the impacts in terms of time and money that some of the, let's say, good-intentioned yet misapplied requirements and restrictions that government sometimes places on industry, poorly written requests for proposals, lack of communication, requirements that don't focus on the desired result. So there's this opportunity, I think, to refocus our attention on how we deliver best value to the taxpayers, how we can encourage rather than discourage industry to deliver innovation and new ideas.
In the last year or so, have you had any sort of mea culpa moments where you thought, oh, I'm guilty of that, and I didn't realize when I was in the Defense Department how hard it was for industry that I did something?
Well, I'd like to think maybe not that, but more so this, like, you know, you got to put your money where your mouth is, right? Because I've been speaking for a long time about the power of how we're better off when we strategically partner together rather than we just throw the requirements over the transom to the industry and refer to them as the vendor to deliver. And so now you got to help make sure that you actually are delivering.
Now, there's a third party that plays in all of this besides the government and the contractors when it comes to policy, and that's, of course, Congress. And I guess you could say some of them get it, some of them don't. What kind of interaction do you plan to have with the members, and what do you want to tell them?
Well, I think there's this great desire. There's this thirst for making things better, and I see it across the executive branch, across Congress and in industry. So I think there's a huge opportunity. There's a lot of laws that have built up over the years in the IT space, and yet the world is changing at this dramatic pace, and the new ways of doing business are dramatically different than the way we have been doing business in the past. So I think there's a lot of interest on the part of Congress in sort of understanding, you know, we talk a lot about reform and reform of acquisition and how, for instance, buying IT is different than delivering weapon systems. But I really think there's an opportunity and an enthusiasm now to try to work on the next practical steps about how you could make the government more agile, make the government more able to partner with industry to deliver innovation and new ideas. And so I think there's some great opportunities there.
We're speaking with Dave Wennergren. He is the incoming PSC Senior Vice President of Technology Policy, which is a new position. And you're going from representing one company, CACI, to an organization that represents many. How do you think your view of the defense industry will change?
Well, you know, I'd like to – I've been involved with it for a long time. And so I think I've looked at life from both sides now, and I understand the key – pain points and the areas that need improvement. And so, you know, if I look at the way the industry side is looking at the DoD, for example, right now, I think there's still a lot of angst and uncertainty. And as I said, the system works best when government and industry partner together so that innovative minds can come up with new ideas together. And so there's this opportunity to mitigate risks, to avoid upfront capital expenditures and things like that by moving to what I'll describe as consumption-based models. Think the example of like cloud computing or managed services and how government can avoid having to have big bills up front and instead buy on demand and gain agility. And so there are these forces that are sort of working against that rich dialogue and success that I've seen in the past sometimes between industry and government. And with financial uncertainty, government organizations are nervous about committing funds, and so there are delays and downscoping, and then that exacerbates companies' abilities to both plan and retain and attract the best and brightest people. And then there are approaches that start out as good intentions, like low-priced technically acceptable, but then get used in areas where they're not best suited. And so I think that there's this challenge that we can face together, and industry is watching this closely, is, you know, in difficult financial times, are you making the hard choices about the legacy solutions you no longer need, terminating unneeded programs rather than just sort of piecemealing financial cuts across everything, and at the same time that you're reducing the spend on the old, that you're making sure that you create a space to foster the new and to create that culture of innovation, speed, and agility so that government can get the most value out of the services and solutions that industry has to offer.
As government shifts and changes its tactics, as you've described, do you think that, especially in defense, are people aware of the macroeconomic impact that they have in the government? I was just reading this morning that a couple of submarine orders for the Navy actually moved the needle visibly in the capital spending figures for the nation as a whole. So when DOD takes a breath, you know, the air kind of moves that way. Does that figure much into the thinking of strategic planning, do you think, on DOD's part?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the folks that run the Defense Department have a keen understanding of, you know, these are large sums of money, and they are major movers in terms of industry, you know, skating to the puck, so to speak, and how research and development takes place and stuff. So, yeah, I think there's a strong understanding that, you know, there's this need to get it right. And I will say that the financial uncertainty of the last couple of years, you know, makes it challenging. And so it's always better when you have a budget in place rather than do things like sequestration during an execution year. And so the more clarity that government can have about, you know, what the money is going to look like allows government to do better planning about making sure it gets used effectively.
And in your new role as head of this Technology Policy Council, the Professional Services Council, do you see yourself as a sort of matchmaker in this strategic partnership between industry and defense? And how so?
I love that idea. I think that's one of the things that drew me to the job is I love the, you know, how do you build coalitions for success and how do you work across, I'll say, disparate organizations to find common goals that can make the world a better place. And so I'm all into that kind of stuff. And as I said, you know, there's this rapidly changing face of how solutions and professional services are going to get delivered. And I think this Technology Policy Council is going to be in the vanguard for industry thought leadership. And there's a set of issues about around which we'll have advocacy, incentivizing, enabling, and driving innovation, adapting the current business models in government to the emerging new business models in the marketplace. And as I said, things like cloud computing or mobility are just the first step in the new and different way that work will be done, and providing a unique unique forum for senior people from a broad array of solutions and services providers to collaborate and help build a path to a better future. If you look at the leadership of the council, if you go to the PSC website and you see the council's executive advisory board, it speaks volumes. It starts at the top with Ann Altman from IBM, who's the chair, one of the true luminaries in federal IT, and then if you look at the rest of the membership, the council is, I say, coalescing into an extraordinary array of thought leadership across industry, and will have a lot to offer the federal government and the rest of the broader industry sector.
Now, just one final question. There are a lot of other similar types of efforts going on, other associations. They have similar words in their titles. How will you stay distinguished from some of those others?
Well, I think there's a real need to take a focus on how work will be done in the future and how we get past the issues of stagnation of the past and the buildup of requirements and rules from the past, and how we can create a broad and better set of ways of doing business. And it's an area that I've devoted, you know, as you mentioned, 30-some years to. And so I think that the PSE team, starting with Stan's, you know, amazing leadership over the years and having to drive reform and the rest of the team, I think the PSC has got a great leg up in terms of getting the right people together to have a focused dialogue about how to change the world in a better way. And so, you know, there's room for lots of people involved in this dialogue, and I look forward to partnering with all sorts of people. But I do think we have a really unique niche about how we're going to focus on changing the way IT policies and IT acquisition is done to help drive to better results, better, faster, cheaper.
So do you think they brought you to the Professional Services Council because Stan Soloway is so reticent?
So shy? No. I think it's the great minds think alike. And Stan, I've known Stan for a long time. I truly, he's a modest guy, but I think he's an icon in this business. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about some of the levers of change that you can work to try to help make the world a better place, and how you can reduce friction and create engines for change. And, you know, like I said, there's this way to build coalitions for success. It's not necessarily consensus across all, but it's this opportunity to drive to results. And so I think Stan and I are of like mind in that regard.
All right. Dave Wintergreen is the incoming Senior Vice President of Technology Policy at the Professional Services Council. Good luck, and thanks so much for joining us.
It was great to be with you this morning.